We're going to continue in our series today on gray areas. So we're going to have one more message on gray areas. And that's going to be next week, Lord willing. But today's message is on our drug of choice. Now, if I was to ask you how many of you are addicted to drugs, chances are you'd say, not me. I don't do those kinds of things. But did you know that we are obsessed with entertainment? You didn't know that, did you? Why else would we be willing to pay $25 million a year to somebody to take a wooden stick and whack a ball with it? Baseball. Or take a piece of pigskin in the shape of an ablate spheroid and throw it or run with it. I mean, folks, we love to be entertained. That's why Oprah Winfrey is the most influential spiritual leader in America. I'm not kidding you. That's how she was named by poll, the most influential spiritual leader in the country. Did you know that the average household has 2.93 televisions in it? I suppose that means there's one in there somewhere lacking a tube or a screen or something. Let's just call it three. And you might say, well, three TVs per household, that's not all that bad. Well, did you know that in half of the households in America, there are four or more? Which means there's a whole bunch of households that have one or maybe none. How many of you don't own a television? Oh man, are you all in trouble? We own two. But what does that mean? Why do we have such a love for that kind of stuff? I don't know how many of you noticed a couple months ago, a bunch of kids walking around town with cell phones in their faces. Really odd to see that, right? No, because that's what people do all the time. But they're out looking for little Pokemons. Okay? And I understand that somebody found a Pokemon here on top of the piano back there by the computer. And did you know that from the day that that was released, Pokemon Go, that within one day, Pokemon Go became the biggest selling app in the United States and the world. Okay? And within a week, Pokemon Go had grossed more in the way of income than any video game that has ever been created in the world. In one week. I kind of thought it was a wonderful idea because it got some of these pasty-skinned kids out of their houses so they can walk around a little bit. I remember walking up the street here towards the office. One kid comes running past me going, oh, I found a Pokemon. I found a Pokemon. And I said, hey, do you ever wonder what that big orange thing is in the sky? That's called the sun. You need to get out more. I don't want to poke fun at Pokemon Go people too much. Iowa State University did a research some years ago, and they found that students that watch two or more hours of television or play video games and watch TV for more than 2 hours a day, okay, 2 hours, actually will create in them attention deficit issues if you watch more than 2 hours of TV a day. And this is pretty awful, because how many of you watch at least 2 hours of television a day? Don't raise your hand. Unless you really want to. Did you know that your average teenage person and younger actually spends, on average, 4.26 hours in front of the television every day? Every day. 2 hours is all it takes in order to start creating attention deficit issues in their brains, but they're sitting there for 4.5. So, you'd think that would sound like, well, maybe not all kids. But the study done by Iowa State University actually followed 1,323 teenagers and 210 college students around. And they found that television changes the way human brains function. Television can change the way your brain functions. How so? Well, keep listening. How many of you know what dopamine is? Or norepinephrine? These are actually drugs that are created to affect your brain. Kind of like serotonin is. Not really drugs, they're hormones. and all of these things affect the way that your brain operates. How many of you think that your home would be a better place if you could just do away with the television? How many of you think you're going to move into a motel and take the television and shove it outside on the balcony like they did in the movie Poltergeist? You remember Craig T. Nelson takes the TV and whips it outside and says, we're not going to have any more TVs in our house? I wonder what our children would be like if they didn't watch so much TV. Think about that for just one second. Our ability to access entertainment is important to us because it helps us escape from reality. And you might say, well, you ain't talking to me, Pastor, because I don't really watch much TV. Well, maybe you don't need to, because you've got a nose imprint on the screen of your smartphone. Permanent one, because that's where your nose is all the time. We can swiftly and effortlessly get entertainment anywhere and anytime now. The scary thing about this is that oftentimes our entertainment interferes with our ability to pray and read and worship the way God wants us to. So let me ask you a question. If you get bored and you're stuck in traffic, how many of you honestly whip out your smartphone? Brian's being honest and the rest of you are lying. How many of you, when you're irritated with your husband, whip out your smartphone? My wife's in her smartphone a lot. She's irritated with me a lot. How many of you, instead of having a conversation with your mate, will whip on Netflix? Netflix, which is the organization that killed Blockbuster Video. Instead of meditating and praying, we go searching for Pokemon. Why? Because we love to be entertained. What is the evangelical drug of choice? Well, while many of us evangelicals, you know, will be very quick to condemn alcohol addiction and drug addiction and all those kinds of things and drug abuse, our drug of choice has become entertainment. And we love to be entertained. Matter of fact, we want to be entertained to the point where we're willing to pay somebody like Jim Carrey $12 million to make one movie while we pay our teachers in the state of Pennsylvania an average of $46,000 to train our kids. Are we chasing the dragon? Well, the question is, are we? What does it mean to chase the dragon? Well, it's a slang phrase that is common among the drug use culture. There is a very popular drug here in Bangor and around the country called heroin. And the first time people use heroin, they end up with this euphoric high, and it's such an incredible experience for them, that sooner or later they have to come down from, that they want to do it again. But they find the next time the heroin that they used the first time doesn't quite do it for them, and they need to go for bigger doses and stronger doses to get that next high. Chasing the high is called chasing the dragon. Okay? That's how they refer to it. A drug user chases a dragon. But how many of us would be honest enough to say that we do the same thing, but we may not use heroin? When you are addicted to heroin and chasing the dragon of heroin, what happens to your body? You can tell. Do some before and after pictures. You can find them online of people that have been addicted to cocaine, people who have been addicted to crack, people who have been addicted to PCP, people who have been addicted to heroin. And you can see some huge changes between the time that they start and the time that they're diagnosed with the issue or in the after picture. They look like they're walking corpses. Seriously. Addictions are a horrible thing, aren't they? And with something like heroin or narcotics or opiates, we go, oh my, how horrible. How terrible that people should ever be addicted to anything. Even Paul says, do not be mastered by anything, right? And so we'll never do that. We'll never become addicts. Oh, but TV and video games aren't like drugs, are they? Well, no, if you were to do a before and after picture of somebody who sat and did an I Love Lucy marathon, they would probably look the same when they started as when they finished. though they probably gained a little weight from sitting on a couch for too long. But back in 1969, a man by the name of Herbert Krugman conducted a series of experiments regarding the effect of television on a person's brain waves. Okay? Did you know that you've got two types of brain waves, major brain waves in your body, one of which is called alpha waves and one called beta? Okay? Alpha and beta waves. How many of you at night find your mind racing and you find it hard to get to sleep? That's because your brain is being preoccupied with beta wave activity. All right? We're going to continue on this in just a second. But did you know that Dr. Krugman did a study on people, finding the effects of television on them, and in less than one minute of television viewing, a person's brain waves are switched from one type of brain wave to another. It takes 1 minute. Okay? They're switched from beta waves to alpha waves. Beta waves are the waves that control your brain when you're alert and you're thinking or being creative. When you're in a problem-solving mode, your brain is in beta wave activity. Everybody understand what I'm talking about? Beta waves. But when you become relaxed, your brain becomes occupied with alpha waves. Get it? Alpha and beta waves. Beta is considered a normal awake state, and alpha waves are experienced in a deep state of relaxation. How many of you ever daydream? When you're daydreaming, you've got alpha wave activity in your brain. In your daydream. Some of you right now. How many of you have ever driven someplace, a place like you've driven a bazillion times, and you start and you get to the end of where you're supposed to be going and you don't remember much of what happened between the time you turned on the key and turned it off? You have been driving in a state of alpha wave activity. It's a state of suggestibility. You're actually driving in a mild state of hypnosis. And you can see how this happens because you'll be driving along and you'll see cars coming at you. You'll notice that they're there. But I tried this with Seth one day when we were driving back from King of Prussia. Seriously. And I said, did you see the car that just came past us? Yes, I did. What color was it? Was there male or female driving? I don't know. What color was the person's clothes that were driving the car? I have no idea. You drive in a state of suggestibility, that is a state of alpha wave activity, and that's what happens. Your brain switches from beta wave to alpha wave within 1 minute of the time you turn that TV and you sit down and you start focusing on what's going on with the TV. It goes from creative thought to passive thought and suggestibility. What do I mean by suggestibility? Mild state of hypnosis. And the people who are running the television networks know that and they prey on it. That's how they sell you stuff you don't need or want. Seriously, how many of your lives have been made better by having that next best vacuum cleaner? You can tell when somebody's in a state of alpha wave activity by the expression on their face. And I can look out at you. I took some communication courses, folks, and I took some psychology courses. And when I look at you, I can tell whether or not you are understanding or engaging what I'm saying just based on the expression on your face. And I would much rather have somebody look at me like this during a sermon than like this. This feels so good. I love alpha waves. And this is the expression on people's faces when they're watching TV. I dare you, Pastor Bob, to watch your kids watch television. Watch the expressions on their face. Within 1 minute of watching, their expression will go from, hey, I gotta watch TV to this. The jaw goes slack, the eyes grow dim, and the brain lapses into a state of suggestibility by being overtaken by alpha waves. And did you know that Dr. Krugman was one of the first people to understand dopamine and norepinephrine? Dopamine and norepinephrine are chemicals in a person's brain. And his study suggests that television and computer game exposure affect a child's ability to sleep, concentrate, and pay attention during their waking hours even. It impairs their cognitive function because their brains become addicted to dopamine and norepinephrine. So you're not a drug addict? Well, your brain might be. Those are the chemicals that help create the pleasure and displeasure responses that your brain goes through in a state of happiness or distress. And the epinephrine is something, folks, that's especially popular in male brains because it gives the males the photographic thing that we've got going on. You've got pictures in your brain that you have because of things that happened back in your life. And men especially have the norepinephrine thing. And we can function through this visual tendency that we have because of the preponderance of these chemicals in our brains. Dr. Krugman listed the effects of overdosing on dopamine and norepinephrine in the onset of hyperactivity disorders. Back when my brother and I were young, he was diagnosed as being hyperactive, and he was on Ritalin. Okay? Way back when we were little bitty ones. The doctors noticed it. Guess who watched more television? Him or me? Him. Always in front of the TV. Me, always out playing baseball. I think that something had to do with that. Too much television, too much video game time helps create attention deficit disorders in children. We wonder why our kids are on drugs because of their hyperactivity or the lack of being able to focus and concentrate, or depression in our kids. Addiction to entertainment is similar to addiction to substance abuse because our brains get a kind of chemical high from our entertainment culture and the fact that we want to be watching TV or playing video games constantly. They become daily in us what prayer and Bible reading ought to be. That's when, instead of praying and reading our Bibles, we're sitting in front of the boob tube, the one-eyed monster, the television, or in front of video games. We fail to recognize that our never-ending pursuit to escape through games and fantasy is actually the enemy of the joy that we're supposed to have as Christians. So with that, I want you to turn to our scripture, Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 1 through 7. As soon as you got it, say, I got it. Okay. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man, who is an idolater, has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, you do not be partakers with them. Kind of a curious scripture to read to you right now, but let me ask you this question. In part of our entertainment culture, how much of this stuff is put in our faces on an everyday basis? How much of this fornication and coarse joking and foolish talking and filthiness and all this stuff is rubbed in our faces every single time we turn on the doggone television? I don't care what we're watching, it's there. And how much of it do we deal with? When I was a senior in high school, your average high school senior had witnessed 14,000 murders and 11,000 acts of adultery on television by the time we were 18. That was 1977. This is 20 years later. How many murders do you think your child has seen by the time they graduate high school on television? 200,000. It has escalated 14 times over? How many acts of adultery and illicit sex have they seen on television by that time? About 100,000. So if your child, meaning you too, at the age of 18 has heard 3,000 hours of sermons, but they've seen 300,000 acts of murder and wanton sex, and all the messages they get on television, which is going to take them over? Which is it that they're going to follow? The 300,000 of this or the 3,000 of that? There is a broad and narrow path, ladies and gents. And over in Matthew chapter 6, 24, let's turn there real quickly if we could. Matthew 6, 24. Got it? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Everybody hears about this and thinks it's got to do with money. Guess what? There's a lot more to it than money. Jesus says that when we gravitate toward anything as our primary means of comfort, we're moving further away from the other thing. So if you're moving toward God, you're moving away from sin. If you're moving toward sin, you're doing what? Moving away from God. And you can't do both. You can't move toward God and move toward sin at the same time. You can't be moving toward a godly life and moving toward a worldly life at the same time. You getting it? You understand what I'm saying? So Jesus exposes a rather insightful reality that would be very good for the modern man to understand. And this is it. That if we devote inordinate amounts of time, money, and affection to one thing, like entertainment, we will despise whatever draws us away. Now think about that. Scratch your head. You know, like this. Get your brain working. Because you know when you scratch your head, you really are activating your brain. You ever see people scratch their head when they're thinking? It actually stimulates thinking. So scratch your head. Okay? Scratch your head. Oh, it feels pretty good. If you devote inordinate amounts of time, money, and affection to one thing, okay, including entertainment, it causes you to despise whatever draws you away from that thing. Now, hey, I don't despise anything. Oh, really? Keep listening. We've all been faced with a choice between spending time with God in our life, okay, or our day, or spending time with entertainment. And at the crux of this whole decision, the all-satisfying gift of Jesus is pit against a temporal, temporary, earthly, worldly, you know, escape. Whatever road is chosen increases hatred toward the path that you did not choose. What am I saying? Well, we have a default setting. Those of you that are computer literate understand what a default setting is. You have a setting on your computer that is there when you get it. So you buy a computer, whatever is the setting on your computer at the time is the default setting. You and I have a default setting. And our default setting is the broad path towards worldliness. You were born with a natural tendency to want worldliness and sin. It's called original sin. It's called Adamic nature or Adam's nature or the original nature or the human nature. Call it whatever you want, you're born with a natural tendency to do the wrong thing. That's your default sin. Seeds of contempt have been planted in you from the day that you were conceived. Think about that. Seeds of contempt toward Christ were planted in you the day that you were conceived. And it happened because of a fellow by the name of Adam. You have Adam's nature in you from the moment you're conceived. Thanks, Dad. Not Mom. Not Mom. Actually, Mom is part of the problem. Likewise, when we choose the narrow road that leads us to Christ and leads us to eternal life in heaven, seeds of hatred are planted for all of our sin. The more you get close to Christ, the more you hate sin. Does that sound right to you? The more you get close to your sin, the more you despise Christ. And I'm just thinking, not me. Well, we need to recognize that earthly sources of comfort can be beautiful gifts when it's God in the center. But when it is not, the gifts of the world. And the world will always draw you away from Christ. When these comforts are not from God, they become cruel masters that seek to devour true joy and true contentment and the abundant living that Jesus Christ promises all of those who will follow Him. And we begin to substitute worldly things for Christ, and we begin to long for those worldly things in place of Jesus, and that includes entertainment. The thing that we have to understand, folks, is that everything that the world can offer you is a temporary fix, and you can only experience better things the more fixes you get. But when it's Jesus, when Christ has His way in you, it's a spring of living water that springs forth into eternal life. Jesus invites all those who are laboring and burdened to come to Him, and He says, "Come to me, all you who are weak and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me," He says. And as we walk through life, we're going to be tempted to continue to embrace earthly means of escape and ignore our bondage to these things, or to walk in ways that are clearly headed toward Christ. And we learn how to put those worldly things behind us. We will sometimes fall, folks. There are times that everybody, all of us, will fall into neglecting our spiritual nourishment and becoming mastered by things that draw us away from Jesus. But by His Spirit, with Jesus, and by communing with Christ, we can experience the joy that the world cannot give us. So we can't serve the world and Christ at the same time. We must serve Christ and not the world. Anything that competes with Christ for our time and our attention is a worldly thing. And we have to face the fact that when we are saying, "Well, you know, I would spend more time praying, or I would spend more time reading my Bible, but I've just got so many things to do." What are we really saying? Those things are so important to me that I can't let Jesus interfere with them. I've got stuff to do. How do you break an addiction to the media? Well, I don't want to leave us hanging over the fires of hell. I want to talk about how we can break addiction to the media. The first thing we need to do, folks, number one, is turn it off. How many of you know your television actually has an off button? It does. Honest to God, it does. And if your on or off button doesn't work, guess what you got? A plug. Unplug it. It really works. Try this when you get home, okay? Some of you have a TV that's on right now, and it's because you just leave it on all the time. And when you get home, it's already going. Watch this. Go home, walk over to the wall, and take that little black thing with the three prongs on it, and pull it out. Watch what happens to your TV. Turn off the one-eyed monster, folks. No problem with that. Matter of fact, I don't watch much TV at all. Oh, look at that video. The first thing is funny. Boy, that Van Horn guy must be slipping. He's written some really weird jokes on here on Facebook. That was my buddy Steve Huber from high school. He's right there. I can't believe it. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. In church. I was daydreaming. Alpha waves. I'm sorry. Number two, after you turn it off, set limits. You need to set limits for how much time you're going to waste. Believe it or not, your time is important. And those hours that you spend in front of your television is time that you're actually wasting. Stuff where you actually could be doing something. And we need to, this is a test of willpower. Can I turn that thing off? Or what will my kids do if I turn that thing off? There needs to be limits. Back when I was a child, I mean way back in those out-of-touch days, television was a reward, not a right. You did your chores, okay, you get 30 minutes of television. Or you get an hour's worth of television, or you get to watch, you know, Beachcomber Bill. You don't remember Beachcomber Bill, but Beachcomber Bill was one of my favorite TV guys, and I used him all through my high school years. I would tell people, like Beachcomber Bill, the way he'd sign up every time was he'd take his hat, cock it down over his eyes, and say, smile with your bottom teeth. And that's how he would sign up. Some of you guys never heard of Beachcomber Bill, but you've heard of Captain Kangaroo, you know, Magic Toy Shop, and, you know. Those are not rights, folks. Those are rewards. And the amount of time that you let your kids sit in front of the TV or sit in front of their iPad or the computer should have limits. And it needs to be a reward, and they need to understand that it's not a right. It's a privilege. Am I making myself clear? Be a brave parent and tell them you don't get to do that all day. You've got to do some stuff. And after you get your stuff done, then you got time to do that. Am I making myself clear? You don't want your kids to be flooding their brains with dopamine and norepinephrine and becoming ADHD kids. And too much of this stuff creates ADHD kids. Studies prove it. Shut it off. Number three, take up a new hobby. Take up a new hobby. Start treating yourself with some beta waves once in a while. And turn off the alpha waves. A new hobby is a wonderful thing. It gets your hands busy. It gets your brain busy. That's something you can do. Fourthly, turn off the cell phone and spend some time with people you love and care about. Turn off the, what is that? Turn off the cell phone? I can't do that. People need me. They've got to be able to reach me 24-7, 365, or 366, depending. They've got to be able to reach me all the time. No, they don't. How, ladies and gentlemen, did you ever get through your childhood without having everybody able to reach you all the time? You made it. Your kids will too. They may not think so. But spend time with loved ones. When you're with somebody, turn off your cell phone, put it down. Seriously. I love to see kids getting together today. We were out the other day. I can't remember exactly where we were, but there were four young people sitting around a table. And instead of talking, what were they doing? Cell phones in their faces. I'm thinking, boy, are they missing out on a lot of good stuff. Relationships. What a wonderful thing. Number five, make it a reward, not a habit. It's a reward, folks. It's not a habit. It's not a right. It's a privilege to be able to watch TV and use the computer and do those things. It's a privilege. 16, meet new people. Meet new people. Form redemptive friendships with people that you don't know. Become a friend of theirs and lead them to Jesus, for crying out loud. How are you going to do that when you're facing in front of a computer, a smartphone, or television? I'm going to lead whomever it is, Larry Hagman, to Jesus. By watching I Dream of Jeannie episodes so they come out my ears. No, you can't do that. Form friendships. Love people the way Jesus loves them. And then be the Jesus to them they need. Like I say sometimes people need a Jesus with skin on. Be that Jesus to somebody. Lastly, cold turkey ain't just great in sense. Are you spending more time with your eyes glued to a digital screen than real-life interaction with real-life humans? If you need to, cold turkey. Shut it off and say, I'm not turning that thing on for 10 days. If you can make it 10 days. One day. Can you make it one day? Could you make it one day without the television? How many would find that real easy? Then don't do it. do the thing that's hard and turn this off for a day. Man, what would happen if they actually called you on your landline? Would your roof cave in? I know somebody's thinking, I don't have a landline because this is all I've got. Turn it off. The people that have an emergency, if they're dead, you can't resurrect them. And if they're sick and they survive, they can wait till tomorrow. I sound really harsh, don't I? Understand something, folks. There is a broad path and there is a narrow one. The broad path has a big, broad, wide door and lots of people can get through it. And there'll be lots of people that take that broad path. Narrow is the way. Narrow is the door that leads to eternal life. We can take the broad path, which is the way the world wants us to take. Or we can take the narrow path. And that comes in following Jesus. I'm not overstating this. I may sound like it, but I'm not. We cannot serve two masters. Some of you are saying, well, thank God I'm not addicted to media. I'm not addicted to television, cell phones, computers, none of that. What are you addicted to? If you are, those seven principles work for those two. Okay? Are we okay? How many of you saying, thank God that sermon's over? Father, thank you for the fact that you are a God who loves us so much. That you sent your son Jesus, that if we place our hope and our trust and our faith in him, we will not perish, but have everlasting life. But Father, sometimes we need to put down the entertainment and pick up Jesus. Father, there are times that we need to understand we're here to serve you and not the world. Lord, the world is not found on our televisions. All we find on our televisions is what the media people want us to think about and want us to believe. Lord, your world is your world. And even though the adversary right now is in rule over this place, we believe, dear God, that you can use us to go out into the world and make a difference and bring people to that narrow way. But Father, how will we do it if we're all just being entertained and don't want to do it? Father, help us. Lord, make us to be men and women who put Jesus first in our lives. Lord, speak to us and speak to the world through us. Lord, if we're moms and dads here, and we have kids that love their TVs and video games, Lord, give us the strength and the ability and the resolve to set limits. Father, if it's us and we're addicted to TV or anything else, Father, help us and give us the strength. But Father, first of all, give us the desire. And Lord, as you give us the desire to break those things, to break those addictions, those habits, dear God, use that to speak to others. That others will see what a victorious life looks like. And Lord, we'll give you all the praise for what you do in Jesus' name.